Hey Sharks fans, thanks for checking out another cast from TealTownUSA.com. In this episode of our Pacific Division Preview Series, we talk with Jeff Patterson from TSN 1040 and cover the Vancouver Canucks.
I am Eric Kura. With me today is Jeff Patterson from TSN 1040, Canucks insider. Jeff, how are you, good sir?
Hey, it's the start of hockey season. I'm good. First preseason game and training camp's over now, so jumping in with both feet and ready to roll.
And you guys have, as we're recording this, three games in three nights. That's got to be rough on all the reporters, too.
Three and three all at home, which is unique. You don't see that very often. And, it's our job to cover. I think it's difficult on the season ticket holders to expect them to get out of their house and watch three preseason games in three consecutive nights. But there's some excitement here in Vancouver. Something that's been in short supply the last bunch of years, but the Sedins aren't here anymore, and so a new chapter begins. And they have to find out who's ready to step in and sort of fill the void. Nobody's going to replace what Daniel and Henrik meant to this organization for the last two decades, but there are frontline spots up for grabs, and that's what camp and the preseason's all about.
Yeah, and that leads me what's going on with the Canucks. I mean, obviously, starting to kind of get into that rebuild of sorts. Now you lose the Sedins. Where's the scoring going to come from? I mean, obviously, we know about Brock Besser and what a stud he had last season for his Calder candidate year. But where else do you guys expect the scoring to come from this season in Vancouver?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest question. Daniel and Henrik, while at the end of their careers, still second and third on the team in scoring last year, both 50-plus point guys, which, modest totals, but this team didn't score an awful lot. And so it still kind of gives you an idea of what they meant to the organization. They're out. Thomas Vanek, of course, was dealt at the trade deadline, but he was productive too. And so those three guys, albeit aging players, were three of the five highest scoring players in the Vancouver Canucks. So, that's the question. Brock Besser had a terrific year, but, we've seen guys fall victim to the sophomore slump. He's certainly aware of it. There's been a lot of talk there. And the way his season ended as well, with a back injury in early March, so he missed the final quarter of the season, but still scored 29 goals in the 62 games that he played. So, he's back, he's healthy now, and he's put on a little bit of weight, bulked up, and he's excited to get going here. They're going to lean on him, there's no doubt. They're going to need Bo Horvat, who had a fine season. Canucks actually were decent in the first 20 games, and then Horvat got hurt, and there were other injuries as well, but the Horvat one really seemed to derail their season in early December. So Bo Horvat is going to be a big part of this club. There's a lot of thought here that he'll be the next captain. I kind of get the feeling the Canucks will go this season without a captain, just kind of to use this as a buffer year from Henrik Sedin, who was the captain for so long. But Bo Horvat looks like the captain in waiting, and they're going to need a lot from him. And then you've got guys that have been in the league for a few years that have shown flashes, but, maybe it's been consistency. Maybe it's been injuries that have dogged them a little bit. I look at a guy like Sven Berchi, who's kind of been in and out. But he's going to be 26 on opening night, so he's no longer young. This isn't about Sven Berchi finding his way in the NHL. He got a three-year deal from the Canucks, which raised some eyebrows in the offseason. He's got to prove that he can be a goal scorer, and he has been a junior in the American Hockey League, but it's time for him. If the Canucks are somehow going to have a successful season, they're going to need guys like Berchi to step up, get into that 20-goal range. Then you go to other players. They picked up Brandon Leipzig from Vegas at the trade deadline. This is a guy that's bounced around a little bit, but played for Travis Green in Portland in junior, so there's a connection there. If it's ever going to happen for him in the NHL, you would think it would be here in Vancouver at a point in time where the Canucks need somebody to step in and generate some offense. So there's a couple of names, and a name that will be familiar to Sharks fans. Nikolai Goldobin had a terrific training camp, but brief as it is, and you can't read a lot into training camp, but look, he's an offensive guy, a goal scorer, and he did that in the scrimmages that they had in their training camp. Nikolai Goldobin looked good, and he sounds like he's in a good headspace. This is going to be third parts of 3 years now that he's been in this organization since the trade from San Jose. So I think he's familiar in his surroundings. I think he's familiar with the coach here. And, they would absolutely love it if Nikolai Goldobin could have a big preseason, win a spot out of camp, and make something happen and become a legitimate everyday National Hockey League, or something that just hasn't happened for him to this point in his career.
You look at Goldobin, you look at Besser and Bo Horvat, but you also have, I don't want to say secondary players, but you also have Brandon Sutter, Louis Erickson. You guys picked up Jay Beagle and Antoine Roussel and Tim Schaller that also make the core of this team. Is there a strength or a weakness on this club right now?
I think many would say there's a lot of weaknesses. people here in Vancouver are still trying to figure that out. There was a definite theme on July the 1st when they went and signed Beagle and Roussel and Schaller. I think they overpaid. They overextended. I mean, Beagle's going to be 33 here in October, and he got a four-year deal. Yeah, he's coming off a season in which he won a Stanley Cup with Washington. You know, with the Twins out of the way, there is a leadership void. And I think they're looking at a guy like Jay Beagle, who is a pro through and through, crushed it in fitness training and testing. You know, so he came to camp. They're looking at him for some leadership. And another area, look, in this Pacific Division, and even though the dynamic has changed somewhat, when you look at what Vegas was able to accomplish in the way they did, it's still the Pacific Division, and there are big, strong, heavy teams. The Canucks have to be tougher to play against, and that was an area last year. They just, you know, they were small, they were slow, they were easy to push off pucks. They didn't win battles. You know, Beagle's got decent size. Roussel has been in this league long enough, and in the Western Conference, people know that he can be a pain in the behind to play against. And you know, he'll take some penalties, but he'll draw some penalties too in the way that he plays. And so he is what he is. Although he has missed training camp with a concussion, so there's a little bit of a question of when he's going to be ready. But there's still a few weeks before the start of the regular season. And Tim Schaller is a bit of an unknown. He had a decent season, a dozen goals in Boston. He was a huge part of the Bruins' penalty kill that was third best in the National Hockey League last year. And penalty killing is an area that the Canucks absolutely can use some help. So I think Beagle, Roussel, Schaller will all become fixtures on the Canucks' penalty kill. Maybe that allows Bo Horvat to lessen his responsibility in that regard and maybe focus a little bit more on generating some offense. But you're not going to get a lot of scoring from those guys that they signed on July the 1st. And, you know, this was a team last year that was 29th in the league in even strength scoring. So there were a lot of people whose eyebrows were raised on July 1st when they went after, you know, character and grit and the intangibles on a team that, you know, needed some scoring. And obviously there were some scores available. If you're going to overpay, maybe overpay for a scorer. But I do think that the organization is a little gun shy after what happened a couple of July 1st ago, you know, when they committed $36 million to Louis Erickson, who has scored all 21 goals for them in his first 2 years on the job. So when we talked about guys that they're looking at, you know, Louis Erickson's 33. Like, if it doesn't happen for him this year, you know, and he's got one of those bio-proof contracts, so it's not as easy as just, like, paying him off to go away. Like, they've got to find a way to rehabilitate Louis Erickson. He's probably never going to be the 30-goal scorer that he was in Dallas and in Boston. But, you know, if he gets an increased role without the Twins around, power play, those types of things, I think the organization looks at Louis Erickson and thinks, you know, there's got to be a 20-goal season in there still. Because if it doesn't happen now, you're into the back half of that contract. He's obviously not getting any younger. And then some real red flags go up. But there are already enough red flags around a guy like Louis Erickson. And look, Jake Virtanen, sixth overall pick in the 2014 draft. You know, this is his fifth training camp, going into his fifth year as a – well, he went back to junior. He didn't. Check that. It is his fifth year as a professional. Like the way the league is going now, you know, you get to your fifth year, like you've got to arrive on the scene. And there were such high hopes for him as a player coming out of Calgary as a junior. And, you know, he skates. He's an elite skater. Like, there's just no question that he is an elite skater. But we keep wondering, like, are his hands ever going to catch up to his feet? And to this point in his career, it hasn't happened. But, you know, if a rebuilding team, you can't afford to have picks like that in the top 10 and top 6, especially when you look at guys that went after him, like Nikolaj Ehlers in Winnipeg. You know, he keeps getting compared to that because Ehlers was available. And the Canucks end up with Jake Virtanen. He's a local guy. We'll see if, you know, is maybe the fifth year here. Maybe it's time for him to have some sort of breakout. But I think there's more questions than answers around a guy like Jake Virtanen. And, you know, it's just tough when you swing and miss on a sixth overall pick like that. It certainly doesn't do a lot to speed up the rebuild.
Right. And it hurts overall because you hope for Jake Virtanen to come up and shine for the team. Same with Goldobin, first here in San Jose and then up in Vancouver. Another guy that I think everybody's like waiting on to just blossom and get the call up is Thatcher Demko, the highly touted goalie that was currently in Utica of all last season. Now, I know the Canucks have Markstrom and Nilsson. Is Demko going to get some playing time, or maybe down the road if they're slightly out of contention?
I think the plan for Thatcher Demko is to go down to Utica and be the guy and play as much as he can, just be the every night guy. At this stage of his development, they don't want him sitting on the bench and being a backup. Jacob Markstrom played, I think, 57 starts last year, got into 60 games. Anders Nilsson sort of fell out of favor a little bit with the coach. Nilsson posted one victory for the Canucks after December 1st last year. So when he got in there, didn't get a lot of support on a bad team, but he also, you're the last line of defense, and he didn't hold up his end of the bargain. Went to the World Championship and through circumstances became the guy for Sweden, ended up winning a gold medal there behind a good Swedish team, but the Canucks are hoping that maybe he got his confidence back a little bit. But it is Markstrom's net. He'll be the starter. He'll be the guy, and the Canucks are hoping that, that was the first time for him last year being in that position, playing that much, and they hope that he learned a lot, and because it can be more effective knowing what to expect in terms of the workload. So Nilsson's, I think, will start the year as the backup, and Demko will go down to Utica, but certainly in the event of an injury, they'll bring Demko up, and they won't have any hesitation to play him this year. He got into one game in his NHL debut late in the season against Columbus, picked up a victory. It was a scrambly game, 5-4. He wasn't lights out, but he got a win, and he did what he had to do, and he made some good saves. And he talks about a comfort level, even just one game, of now kind of knowing what it looks like, at the very least, to play in the NHL. So he has that as a baseline to go off of. And the Canucks, they're high on him. There's no question. Nilsson's on an expiring contract, so we'll see if he lasts the entire season here. This time next year, there's no doubt that the plan would be to have Thatcher Demko in the National Hockey League and probably battling with Jacob Markstrom for the net at that point. But I do think, and I kind of agree with them, there's no point in having Demko sitting on the bench, not playing much, if he can go down to Utica. And it looks like Utica should have a decent team. Go down there and just play and play a lot and continue to develop. And when you arrive on the scene, be ready for your opportunity. But he will get some games in the NHL this year. I don't think there's much doubt about that.
With the Canucks, I know there's going to be some rough roads, but are you surprised at how far things have come from like 7 years? They were in game 7 of the Cup final. There have been some tough times there, but I think this is the year that things are going to start to go up. I know it's always a goal to have playoffs in perspective, but are what's the expectation overall, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
I think a lot of people here in Vancouver think there's going to be one more dark year here. And, Jack Hughes is the shining light at the end of the tunnel. The 2019 draft is in Vancouver. The Canucks picked Quinn Hughes, his brother, last year, 7th overall. And so there are a lot of people that think, okay, this brother act of Daniel and Henrik exits. The time is here for Jack and Quinn Hughes to ride to the rescue. Now, a lot has to happen, obviously, for that to come to fruition. But I think that will be sort of the overarching storyline throughout much of this season. The World Junior Championship is in Vancouver as well, so the Hughes brothers will represent. So that storyline's not going away. It's going to be a lot of Hughes talk here in Vancouver. Quinn went back to Michigan, but the plan is that if Michigan doesn't have the kind of season that they're hoping, if their NCAA season ends before the Canucks does, then they would turn him pro. So we may see Quinn Hughes make his NHL debut later in the season, sort of the way Brock Besser did 2 years ago. So I think we're a year away from this team really getting some traction. And one of the big pieces of the puzzle that we haven't talked about is Elias Pettersson was the guy that the Canucks took 5th overall 2 years ago in the 2017 draft. He was the Swedish League MVP as a teenager last year, doing things that Peter Forsberg and the Sedins didn't do in the Swedish Hockey League. Now it's the SHL. This is the NHL. It's a step up. But still, like when you're looking at guys in his age group, this guy was all world for, he played for the Swedes at the World Championship as a teenager until he broke his hand. So there's some real excitement. This guy is all skill. He's got a terrific shot. He's got to put on a little size still, I think, but know, he's looked decent through training camp, and they're going to give him every opportunity. So, you know, Besser had a fine rookie season last year. I think he's raised the expectations in Vancouver that rookies can come in and really make an impact. And if they can get Brock Besser to pick up where he left off and have Elias Pettersson step into the NHL and bring some offense, I mean, that's one guy I think that you have to look at. You know, a lot of publications around the league are pegging him to be in that discussion for Rookie of the Year, along with Rasmus Dahlin. Again, it's a long season, and there's a lot of heavy lifting to be done between now and then. But if there is reason for excitement and hope in Vancouver, it is that, you know, after some real dark years where they didn't have much in the system, now you've got Pettersson, now you've got Besser, Horvat, Quinn Hughes will be here at the end of the year, and you can start at the very least. You know, you talk about Thatcher Demko as the goalie of the future. You can start to piece together what looks like the next core of the Vancouver Canucks. So there is some excitement here around the prospect pool that they've got. The caution, obviously, is that every team likes its prospect pool. Every team has up-and-coming players. The question now is, you know, do the Canucks fully believe that their prospects are better than other teams around the NHL? And can those guys continue to develop to meet the expectations and the potential that they possess?
And there definitely is a lot of prospect hope in Vancouver, and I will be very interesting, and let's be honest, in a year or so, start to get a little nervous about what the Canucks are going to have. But as for now, what are the rumblings you kind of hear about the Sharks up there in Vancouver and in Western Canada, especially with everything that transpired last week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just constantly amazed that in an era where we are repeatedly told how difficult it is to make hockey trades, that Doug Wilson just continues to jump in and make the splashes that he does. You know, when you look over his tenure, Thornton and Burns and Evander Kane last year and now Erik Karlsson, like, it truly is remarkable. So many general managers play that card that it's just too tough to make trades. And Doug Wilson seems to look for and find the opportunities to, you know, go all in and make the deals that he does. So I think people in Vancouver looked at that and they thought, wow, like, that's a good Sharks defense already, and now you're adding Erik Karlsson to the mix, and people certainly familiar with the Sharks, with the West Coast rivalry. You know, and the Sharks have been able to do what the Canucks haven't. And you go back to 2011 when the Canucks edged the Sharks to advance to the Stanley Cup final. You know, the Canucks have made one playoff appearance since, and they made the playoffs the next couple of years, but in the last 5 years, they've only been to the playoffs once. You know, and the Sharks have remained competitive and knocked on the door and got to the final. And, you know, so these two teams have gone totally separate ways. And that's because the Sharks had that next wave. They had a Logan Couture waiting in the wings. You know, Thomas Hertl has developed. And now some of the other prospects, and plus they were able to build a stable that allowed them to make the deal that they did. And so I think people look at the Sharks and think, that's a heck of a hockey team. It just got better. We know that wasn't able to get past Vegas last year in the playoffs, but certainly as I sit here today, I look at the San Jose team. I mean, I'm fascinated to see how that defense shapes up in terms of how the right side, like what the depth chart's going to look like, what the power play is going to look like. But we just know that they've got so much firepower. And to put it in some perspective from a Vancouver standpoint, the top right side defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks last year had 11 points. Think about that for a second. When Brent Burns had 67 and Erik Karlsson had 62, the top right side defenseman for the Canucks had 11 points.
That's gracious.
Yeah, and that's we didn't even get into that, but that's a huge area of concern. The Canucks defense wasn't good enough last year. They brought back the same 8 guys. Like, Doug Wilson goes out and makes this massive splash to get a good defense even better with Mark-Edward Vlasic now, like, sort of a depth guy, come on. And the Canucks bring back the same 8 guys that weren't good enough last year, and they're going to return the exact same defense. So there are some real issues there. They get nothing in the way of offense from their back end. That's been a huge concern for a bunch of years, really going back to about 2011. That's why they drafted Quinn Hughes, and that's why they're excited to have him in their stable now, because he's going to – plan is for him to be this dynamic playmaking, puck-moving defenseman, but it's not going to happen until – you know, much later this year or next year at the earliest. So the Canucks do not reside in the same sort of area code as the Sharks and a few of the other teams in the West. But, you know, they'll see firsthand, you know, how much ground that they've got to make up when they play teams like San Jose. And, you know, the other thing for the Canucks, too, is they've got a beast of a schedule. Like, they're out of their building for much of December because the World Junior Championship is here. So they've got an extended road trip right after Christmas. They start the season at home and then go out on the road for six. So six of their first seven are on the road. 17 of their first 26 games are away from home. So they'll give you the line about, oh, it's good for a team to gel and get together and bond and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying that. 17 to 26 on the road to start. You know, like they could be out of it by the time December 1st rolls around.
Goodness, yeah. And it sounds similar to what the Sharks have done like the last few years. They get like one or two home games and then they're like out on the road for like a good three quarters of the chunk of the regular season. Jeff, let our viewers know and listeners know where they can find you on the social media and on the radio. Like we mentioned, TSN 1040, which is one of my favorite stations to listen to when I get my hockey talk. So where can the people find you?
Anywhere the Canucks are, I'll be out on the road again this year. I travel not with the team, but I cover the team home and away on Twitter, active and engaged on Twitter, at Patterson Jeff. Patterson has one T and Jeff with a J. So at Patterson Jeff is my Twitter handle. Anywhere the TSN website, tsn1040.ca is the radio station and the website. I do some writing, some column work there throughout the season. And I've got a podcast of my own that covers the Canucks. We call it the PatCast here. And you can find the link at tsn1040.ca as well. So, yeah, it's hockey season. Market like Vancouver, we're all in. And lots of Canuck coverage. You know, if people are looking for hockey talk different times, certainly, you know, in the time zone, late at night, whatever the case, lots of hockey talk on TSN 1040 and tsn1040.ca.
Appreciate it. And definitely, by all means, check them out. Check him out. Check out the rest of the shows over there. So thank you so much, Jeff Patterson. Appreciate it as always. We'll be talking to you throughout the season.
All right. Thanks for having me on.